Remember when Arden was speaking, and he brought out some really wonderful things about holding on to the hope of heaven. And for those of us who have lost loved ones this last year, and maybe experienced that, boy, that's real to us, isn't it? It was real to me. It was so real to me to watch my dad just slip away. And to see my dad knew that my dad saw something in those last few moments of his life. I knew he was connecting with something, and it's a beautiful thing. And it's a wonderful thing for us to carry this hope that when our loved ones die or when we die, we can have a hope that there's going to be something waiting for us at the other end, that Jesus is there, and we have this great hope. And for those of us who have experienced the loss, we know that warms our heart to think about it, doesn't it? It warms our heart, and we think, yeah, I know Dad's in a happier place, but I also got to figure out how to live without Dad. I got to figure out, how do I walk through my life now without him, or without other significant people in my life who have died, like my brother. I know my brother, when he was murdered, is a terrible loss in me, and it did warm my heart knowing that Brad was in heaven, but I still got to figure out how to live without him here. I still got to figure out how to live my day in real time here. How do I live without him? So I guess this morning I want to pose a question to you. I'd like to pose a question of where do we find our hope now? Where do we find it today in real time in our lives, living color? Where are we finding our hope? And I want to share a little bit with you. I'd like to share a little bit with you about my journey and where I've found my hope. But I also would like to share with you a little bit about where we might all be able to find that, because that's my hope. And I love it that it's Peace Month in the Friends denomination, and that just gives us an opportunity to talk about peace. And that's just not about peace that's going to happen later. That can be about peace that we can experience now, and that's exciting to me. But I want to tell you a little bit about my journey and where I've come. And most of you know I'm a product of the Jesus movement back in the 70s. How many of you were a product of the Jesus movement, just for curiosity's sake? All right. Raise your hand proud. All right. That's it. Another question. How many people have read Late Great Planet Earth? There we go. The Late Great Planet Earth, Hal Lindsey's book, swept me away when I read this book. And Hal Lindsey back then, and I believe he's still doing it today, was bringing up the possibility, the reality of Jesus. When is Jesus coming back? And when is the rapture going to happen? When is God going to come back for the church? And it dominated my thinking back then. I remember hearing Hal Lindsey speak one time saying, you know, I'm not setting dates, but if Jesus isn't back by 1985, I'll be really surprised. And I'm with him. You know, we're looking at those common market nations in Israel or the common market nations in Europe, thinking, you know, the Antichrist is going to come from Europe, and there's 8 common market nations. And so when those last 2 common market nations, that's going to be 10, and that's the prophecy for here, and the Antichrist is going to come. So I'm watching and waiting for those common market nations, you know. And I watch them go from 8 and then 9 and then 10. It's 10. Wait, 11? Now it's 12. What happened? I thought it was supposed to stop at 10, and Jesus, that was it. And so I don't know how many there are now, but it's not 10. And as you know, 1985 came and went. And so I kept thinking to myself, well, I know it's close. And I believe this about the Bible, that there's a dynamic of, I believe that Jesus could come back at any time. But that any time really does mean any time. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100. It could be 1,000 years. And for many years of my life, my my spirituality was truly focused on Jesus coming back right away. And so when I think about it, my spirituality was focused on the second coming of Christ. Just really focused on when this going to happen, what are the signs of the times, and all of those things. And when I say spirituality, it dominated my spiritual life of how I thought, read lots of books about it, was just really engaged in it. And getting people to heaven or going to heaven was the main theme of my life. Now, recently I read something that Brian McLaren wrote, a theologian today who's a popular writer, and Brian McLaren described an aspect of spirituality that many Christians had, and he called it evacuation plan spirituality. Now, evacuation plan spirituality means that basically everybody's living their life waiting for the big evacuation. We're waiting to get to heaven, or we're waiting for Jesus to come back to take him, so we're just getting ready for an evacuation, you know, for the evacuation. And when I think back on my life of growing up, that's really how I thought for a lot, just getting ready for the evacuation. Heaven's going to be great. Heaven's going to be great. We're going to get out of this place. And that's true. It is. I think it is going to happen. But that's not all, I believe, that we're supposed to be thinking of. And those of you watching any football this last few days, watching some football games, usually you'll see somebody holding up a sign at a football game or an event. What are they always holding up signs saying, right? Like, repent, for the end is near. You know, that's one that we see a lot. And I saw a cartoon the other day, and it just struck me, so I wanted to share it with you. Here's a guy who's a modern-day guy who's holding up a new sign, and it says, "The end is not near. You must learn to cope." And that struck me, because although I believe, you know, the end could be near, but I thought, in the meantime, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do with our lives when we're waiting for this second coming to come back? Now, I'll tell you a little bit about when we think about living our lives, when I think about living my lives with that evacuation plan gospel, when it came to the deep challenges that were facing the world, and the deep challenges that were facing me, I found myself hitting almost like a default button. When I thought about the pain and suffering in the world, well, it's like, oh God, Jesus, you got to come back right away, just fix this. Or struggles in my own life, oh man, I can't wait till I'm in heaven, I won't be struggling with this. And so it was almost like a default button I just kept pushing, because I'm living in the future. I'm living, always thinking about this great evacuation that's going to happen. My relationship with God, and I would like to talk about some of the influences of this. It affected my relationship with God. And the way that it affected it, living with this evacuation plan kind of spirituality, is that I talked a lot about seeking God, but really, I didn't quite know what to do with God when I was with him. You know? It's almost like my spirituality felt a lot like a cosmic hide-and-seek activity. Like, God's hiding from me, and I gotta find him. But once I'm with God, I didn't really know what to do with God when I was together with God. But when I think about my relationship with myself, what my inner life was like for many of those years, I kept myself so busy. I was busy doing ministry. I was doing things for God, always doing. But I never really looked at my life very introspectively at all. And I was afraid to look in. Kathy, we read a book, or she read a book years ago, The Spirit-Filled Temperaments by Tim LaHaye, if you remember this book. And I hated that stuff. I hated it, because she would read it, you know, read it, I think I'm this or this, and I think, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know, because really, I was kind of afraid to ever look inside and to say, what am I like? I'll just keep busy. And that way I don't have to look inside. But my relationship with others, I was so busy doing things and so busy about this evacuation plan, I was kind of oblivious to some of the struggles that were going on in other people. For instance, racial issues, issues in our world, it was kind of a non-issue to me, because after all, we're going to be evacuated someday, and you know, God's going to work that race issue out. He's going to work that out in heaven. Or gender issues, realizing, thinking, do we have problems with how women are treated in our world, and are we really a gender equality society? I didn't care, because I'm just waiting for the evacuation, you know, and God's going to work all that out in heaven. So just waiting for that to go. My relationship with creation, although I loved creation as a child, but the spirituality that I was exposed to early on taught me that, well, you know, it's all going to burn anyway. You know, this evacuation, all the judgment's going to come on the earth's going to get burned up, and it's just going to be a mess. So really, there's no spiritual value to it. It's just going to burn. So, but you're going to get a new one. You're going to get a new one in the end. So, okay. So I lived a lot of thinking. I lived a lot that dominated my thinking. And it wasn't until probably a few years ago now, a number of years ago, I started to think about the kingdom of God in a different way. You know, we see that guy holding up the sign that says, repent, for the end is near. Did Jesus ever say that? You remember what Jesus did say? He got the repent part, and repent means to change, right? Repent means to change. And so when he's saying change, because the kingdom of God is where? It's at hand. It's here. Wait, I thought it was an evacuation plan. Well, another way that I like to look at it is, how many of you remember eating this candy years ago? It's candy called Now and Later. Anybody ever had this candy before? Yeah, all right, Ben, my man, you've had it. Now and Later was a candy. It's a really hard, hard candy, and you could chew it and suck on it, and like you, unless you had like a vice for teeth, you know, it's going to take you a while to eat it. And I started seeing the kingdom of God has a now and a later aspect to it. And that because we look at the future, of course, when we die, we know that's going to be later, but there is something that's supposed to happen in the now. And in the now. And so as we look at this, I would like to offer a way to guide our thinking, because the transformation, something started to happen inside of me to realize that I haven't been thinking, my hope has been primarily in an evacuation, in my evacuation. And what started to change is that God started to give me hope that not so much in an evacuation, but hope in a transformation. A hope that things could change. A hope that things could change in my relationship with God, a relationship with myself, a relationship with my community, and a relationship with creation. And that, another way to describe transformation, is a word that has brought great meaning to me, is the word reconciliation. It's a great word. And a big moment for me was start to understand that the gospel, the words of Jesus, were all about reconciliation. Now, this morning we're going to take a look at this, at reconciliation, and again, it's appropriate since we are in Peace Month. It's a beautiful picture of Peace Month. The process of reconciliation is bringing peace into a situation where there's great stress or conflict or that. And so if we want to take a look at, first of all, we're going to take a look at the reconciliation through the eyes of the Apostle Paul. I think that's when he had them open. There it is. Let me read this to you, and then I want to pull out a few things to you. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Now, you may be asking me, well, Bruce, what exactly is reconciliation? I don't know if you're thinking that. But. Well, Webster defines reconciliation as restoring a friendly relationship between, causing to coexist in harmony, or to make or show to be compatible, or to settle a disagreement, to settle a strife. A general working definition that I came up with is that the work of reconciliation brings estranged individuals or groups back together so they can walk in relationship with one another. Now, reconciliation can happen person to person. Kathy and I could maybe have a big, huge fight, and basically we're estranged, or something happened that breaks our relationship, or it can be person to person, or it can be person to a group. I can be in a small group Bible study and I feel like this whole group is ganged up on me, so now I've got a problem between me and a group. Or it could be a group and another group. Say Church A doesn't like Church B, so they're just constantly fighting. So reconciliation happens on many different levels. But if we're going to look at what the Apostle Paul pointed out, let me point out a few things that really struck out to me as I read this, is that, first of all, if anyone is in Christ, when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, well, everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. It's like a new way of looking at things. There's a new way of existing, a new way of walking. And then I love this when he says, and this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Well, this sounds a little different than evacuation plan spirituality. If the Apostle Paul is saying Jesus came to earth to bring reconciliation, to bring peace between human beings and God, this process of reconciliation, he has given who the ministry of reconciliation? That's us. Well, what does that mean? He's given us the process of reconciliation. And then later he goes on to say, and entrusting this message of reconciliation to us. He says it twice. So God has given us, according to Paul, God has entrusted this to this process of reconciliation, of this process of seeing reconciliation happen. Well, where's this reconciliation going to happen? Well, I believe it happens in those four areas of our lives, but what I would like to do is, not only did Paul talk about it, so did Jesus. Jesus taught about it, and again, as I just said, he said, repent, change, be transformed, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's a change that's happening. A big change is happening in all these areas. The kingdom of heaven is here. This could be happening now in our lives. Now. And a scripture that really has brought me life as I've thought about reconciliation is this process through the Lord's Prayer. And I would like us all to read this together, all right? We can get started. So pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not bring us into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. A few things about this Lord's Prayer when I read it, a few initial observations that I made. And did you notice this little word right up there? I love this little pointer too, by the way. See that word right there? What's that say? Our. Jesus is teaching us to pray together as a group, as a community. This isn't a time where he talks about you going and having your special time with God. This is the time where he's saying, this is what you guys need to be praying together. And notice this. this really jumped out at me this time as I studied it. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wow, so what do you think he means by that? Pretty much just what it says. The things you know to be true, intrinsically true about God and God's values and who God is. Jesus is saying, be praying about having this actually happen here on earth. Again, this kind of collides with the evacuation plan thinking about life. That's not what Jesus taught. Well, the first observation, or another observation I would say, is that not only should reconciliation be a part of how we pray, of how we think about it, but actually it should be a part about how we live our lives. And I would like to talk, because this is going to be by way of introduction too, for the next few weeks, Kathy and I are going to be speaking, and we're going to be talking and exploring more of this process of reconciliation, how it happens, and where it can happen in the context of our lives, of how it can take place. But as I look at it, when I think about us as people, I believe that there's four areas that we can look at to open up our lives to areas of reconciliation. And I did this cool diagram for you. And because I felt like it was a good way for us for a visual to begin to describe this process of reconciliation of how God works in our lives. This first area, it has to do with, as a person, how are you going to be reconciled to God? How can you and God work out the conflicts that are between you? And this is a work. This is a place where Jesus came to bring this reconciliation. He taught about it, and we just saw it in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, through the person of Jesus, he came to bring this offer of God, presenting himself to people. But you remember, Jesus didn't tell the people, when you pray to this great mythical mist in the sky. He said, pray to your Father. Jesus gave the picture that God, we can come to God as a father. And that's kind of a radical concept of thinking, you're calling the Almighty God a father, and yet it's a good father. Some of us who've had crummy relationships with our fathers, I know that can sound bad, but try to think of it in the best way, in a good way. Now, do we need to be reconciled between God? And I know that's a dumb question, because yes, I think many of us do, because the signs of distress are everywhere. There's people who are angry with God, who are even in rebellion against God. They may be angry, they may be indifferent, they may be a whole different places. And I'm talking about Christians too, by the way. I'm talking about all people at different parts in our lives. We may be struggling with God. And this is a huge place of reconciliation, opportunity for our relationships with God to be healed. And Jesus modeled this. Beautiful way of how Jesus modeled this was, you remember the story, I always thought it was a pretty fun story, of how Jesus is preaching and all of a sudden he hears some racket, and the guys are up above in the ceiling, and they're dropping down their friends on a pallet. Imagine if somebody did that to us. If I'm preaching, all of a sudden you hear a sawzall going up there, and all of a sudden here comes somebody getting lowered down. And I love it, because when Jesus looked at that person who was lowered down, and you remember what he told them? Your sins are forgiven. And so Jesus came to bring this reconciliation between God and people. He brought this. And I think the most amazing statement in the Bible, myself, the most amazing statement I've read in the Bible was when Jesus was dying on the cross and he looked out at all the people who were crucifying him and basically said, Father, may they all burn in hell. No, he didn't say that, did he? No, he did not. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. So the hope that we can have, bringing back to this hope, the hope in real time, the hope that we can experience here on this earth is a reconciliation with God. But the second area, it's a reconciliation that I believe that's within ourselves. And there's a beautiful picture from Michelangelo. I believe it's God creating Adam. But we can have a hope of this kind of a restored relationship with God. It's a good hope to have. We don't have to wait for heaven for it. We can experience it here and now. And that's a good hope. But let's go on to the second one. The second area that I see that we can have reconciliation is within ourselves. Many of us are jammed up inside. We're jammed up, we're anxious, we don't even know who we are, and there's lots of stresses. And I love Jesus and his teaching, because Jesus offers in his teaching, even in the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus says, pray, Father, forgive us our sins, there's a healthy picture of somebody being able to say, God, I have needs, I've blown it, I've done some wrong things. There's a healthy way of being able to look at yourself, to be able to admit that, yeah, I make mistakes. We all know people, probably in our lives, who have a very difficult time saying those two powerful words, I'm sorry. Some of us probably have a hard time saying those too. I know I can. But this is a part of what Jesus offers, is that he offers us the hope that we can really be healed inside and we can know who we are. I find it fascinating that was challenged in the life of Jesus over and over again. How many times did he go to preach and people would say, what, you? Aren't you the carpenter's son? You're saying you're the son of God? You're a carpenter. And yet Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew who he was. He knew what he was about and knew who God had made him to be. That's a healing that happens when we are reconciled within ourselves. This is a picture Zach drew of the Invisible Children. It was a video. Actually, it's an organization that deals with the children who are abandoned in Uganda. And what happens to them every evening, because of the civil war and strife, children are taken from their families and made to enlist into the Ugandan army or the rebel forces. And so every night, there's huge amounts of children who flock to the city and sleep in the city so they won't be stolen from their villages. And this is a picture of a young boy who was in the video, deep anguish because his brother had just been captured and been taken away by them. Deep pain in this little boy's life. Deep pain, deep hurt. And the beautiful hope is that the hope is that God can heal that. God could heal that. Well, then this other area, as we look at it, it's the idea of experiencing reconciliation with others in our community. With others who are in our community. The Lord's Prayer teaches when Jesus says, forgive us our debts, or forgive us our sins, and as we have sinned against others. This is a community idea of thinking that we're acknowledging our wrongdoings, or wrongdoings that are happening in relationship within our community. It's like taking the blinders off and saying, this is the truth about our community. There's been some wrongdoing that's happened. Our communities today, signs of stress is that we are not one big happy family in this country. We are very, very fragmented, and the issues are real. And the issues are real. And as I stated earlier, we see issues of poverty in our country, and much of the poverty isn't because the people are lazy. It's because there's poverty because there's systems that are unjust that are in our society today. We have issues of gender equality. The Friends Church, I think, is wonderful because the Friends Church offers women a place where their voice can be heard. that's not too common in the churches where I've come from over the years. And so I'm very thankful to see the French church to do this. But yet we still have gender issues are still just as real. Women typically don't make as much money per capita as men in the jobs. There are systems that are unjust, that are real. Now, when Jesus talked about this idea of living a community and being honest and open about problems or about issues, he told stories that were radical for his day. This is a story of the good Samaritan. And in the Jewish mind, a person who is a Samaritan was viewed as not even a human being, let alone honoring their spirituality, letting alone giving them an ounce of respect. And yet Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, which broke down at least perceptions, and it broke down the idea that Jesus was willing to look at racial issues of his day and face them and talk about them and get them out in the open. Another story that was radical, or it wasn't even a story, it was an event of Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. Even Jesus talking to a woman was like unheard of. You know, Jewish men used to pray during Jesus' day. They prayed, "Lord, thank you that I'm not a Gentile, or thank you that I'm not a woman." And it's fascinating that we see in the life of Christ, Jesus says, "No, I'm not doing that. And I will choose to walk differently." And so we see through the life of Christ how Jesus interacted with women was much different than his contemporaries. And so what's the hope? Well, there's a hope that we can be transformed to start walking in relationship with one another. This is the hope that we see it in heaven. When you read I think it's in Revelation, where there's a picture of people of all tribes and nations all together worshiping God. But we could do that here too. It's possible. It's possible. And actually, Jesus says we should be praying for it. We should be moving towards this, towards coming together and seeing healing happening within our communities. And this third area that I've been I've experienced healing, it has to do with our creation. Because again, this flies in the face of thinking that the earth is going to burn, and so we view the earth as a commodity, just something that we use. And we're getting a little nervous because we're starting to use it all up. And we've been using it without a thought of, is it sustainable? Southern California, where I'm from, of course, they've been getting tons of rain now, which has been good for them. But that's the number one city in America that's in danger of running out of water. And it's funny because nobody ever thought when we're building a city, can the earth sustain this city, this many people with water? And so when I think of how creation is being treated now and how the scriptures speak of creation, if you look at the Old Testament, you see a concept of shalom. And shalom doesn't mean just like peace to you. Shalom is a very rich word that gives the idea that God is going to someday be reconciled, be at peace with creation and all human beings and nature. It's all working together. In Isaiah, you're probably familiar with the prophecies that say, you know, the lion will lay down with the lamb, and that children can play with snakes, and that it's not a danger. So there's this picture of a restored humanity and a restored relationship with creation. Yet we don't really, that's not even on our radar screen for us for right now, because we don't even give creation hardly a second thought. But I believe we're supposed to. I love this picture. This picture was drawn by by a missionary who went to Canada and ministered among the Cree Nation, Indian Native Americans in northern Canada. And he spent 30 years of his life working with the Cree people. And he drew this painting, and I just love this painting because it shows a restored, it's very symbolic because it shows a restored view of human beings living together in unity with God, but yet enjoying and seeing a part of creation all around them. Now, excuse me, when we think about how Jesus and what he taught about creation, he did teach quite a few things about creation. One is that he not only did he teach and say that God was the creator, but what he did teach is that God was the sustainer. And a fascinating passage in Matthew 6:26, when he looks at a person and he says, if you're anxious, what was the remedy if you were anxious and you were worrying? Why don't you go outside and look at the birds and know that your Father in heaven feeds them. Now that tells me that God not only sustains creation, God is engaged with creation. And that's a big deal. Because if God cares enough about those birds that God is engaged in caring for creation, then that can begin to change us, how we think about creation, how we can think about it. So what's the hope is that we can live a more holistic life with creation. I never thought about this until I preached this, but when Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, well, Jesus wasn't just saying, give us this day your daily Wonder Bread from Fred Meyers. In a sense, what Jesus is saying is that, do you know where your bread comes from? Your bread comes from the earth, and it needs water to get that wheat to grow. And so there's a connection, even in Jesus saying, pray for your Father for your daily bread, but also remember, your food comes from the earth. So a few things, and I'll bring this to a close for this morning. The good news is that this gospel, this kingdom of God, is much deeper and fuller than thinking about an evacuation plan. It's much deeper, and it's about this process of reconciliation. It's about healed relationships. I remember something Brenda, seeing her, it reminds me of it. A month or 2 months ago, we were sharing, and Brenda made the comment that her computer was shutting down. And the computer said, do you want to install these updates before you shut down? And she said, oh yeah, I want the updates. And so she pushed it. And it was beautiful how she pointed out how God is inviting us to a relationship with him where we don't have to think about life is going to happen when we shut down, when we die. This is an invitation now into following Jesus in a full way. And he is inviting us into this process of transformation and reconciliation. He's inviting us all to it. That takes courage to do it. And it takes courage. It takes courage to be able to start to look at your life honestly and admit the truth about things, the truth about where other people are at, and actually the truth about our relationships. So I'd like to invite the worship team to come back up. And as they do, this is kind of a picture of how I thought a interesting way of seeing in living color. This is what an integrated, full life of following Jesus could look like for us all. Components of us reconnecting with God and experiencing God, getting in touch maybe with our own pain and being healed in our pain, and being that Samaritan, being the good Samaritan, and also being in God's presence. Ollie, I loved it what you said this morning about sitting in Hawaii and feeling God's presence. You described that. You described being involved with God in nature and experiencing God.
Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in endless praise. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose, every power as thou shalt choose. Here am I, all of me. Take my life, it's all for thee. Here am I, all of me. Take my life, it's all for thee. Take my will and make it mine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne, it shall be thy royal throne. Here am I, here am I, all of me. Take my life, it's all for thee. Treasure store, take myself and I will be
some things that I believe Jesus is asking of us this morning. Jesus is asking us, or is saying to us, I have a vision to have a relationship with you. Do you want to have one with me? And I imagine Jesus asking us, can we talk about the truth of our situation here? Can we talk? You know, and Jesus is saying, you know, I forgive you for what you've done. Are you willing to maybe forgive me for what you think I've done to you? Can we talk? Are we willing to grow together? Next week, I think I'm excited because Kathy's going to have an opportunity to speak to us about the process of spiritual direction. That's a process of opening up our lives with God and having Him touch those deep places in us. So thank you for listening this morning. May God bless you and give you a great week, and we will talk to you next week. See ya.